Bonjour and hello. Welcome to Northern Voices, celebrating ties to Minnesota's Northland. I'm Leah Lem, your host and a fellow Northlands explorer. I talk a fair bit about how inspirational the people of Northern Minnesota are, and I'm eager to embrace the lessons from the conversation I'm sharing today. I want to collect sap in order to make maple syrup. My ancestors and relatives would do this. I've seen pictures. And I would like to learn the process that, to me, until now, has been only theoretical. Maybe make some syrup for my oatmeal. But first, I need some input from the experts. And folks around here are so generous and share so much of their knowledge. And I'm lucky to talk with many people through these conversations, where I'm learning even more about the traditions, sustainable practices, and the indigenous and ancestral ways of life of my new neighbors. Today, I talk with Jodan Rozo, whose family has been collecting and preparing maple syrup, or sugar bushing, for years. I meet up with him in Callaway, Minnesota, at the Indigenous Farming Conference held at the Maple Lag Resort. The conference is hosted by the White Earth Land Recovery Project. I see Jodan through a crowd of people. He's standing behind a table representing Ogama Organics, the Native Food Sovereignty Initiative on White Earth. We shake hands, and I stow my winter gear behind the table. I was warned I would need it, and I don't joke around with winter warnings anymore. We walk up to a sunny room in the resort to chat.
Ogama Igabo Indigenous Cause. I'm Jodan Rozo from White Earth Indian Reservation, and right now we're entering the sucker moon, which is the time that we start harvesting maple sap for sugar production. My family's been producing sugar for as long as I've known. We are now teaching our fourth generation, just from since my mom and dad have been married.
I asked Jodan if he could expand on the timing of sugar bushing, how it fits into the cycle of the seasons.
The springtime, the sugar season, this is the Anishinaabe New Year. Anishinaabe Aki is waking up. Okay, so our land is waking up. It's been resting. Our mom's been sleeping through the winter. When the ice starts turning black, or when you start hearing that little bird call out in the woods, that the trees are waking up, it's our time to start preparing to get ready for the rest of the season. The three seasons, the spring, summer, and fall, are all spent preparing for the winter. The winter time, while there's snow on the ground, we all stay together. We stay huddled up in our little houses, and we stay warm and we share stories. And as soon as that last snowflake melts, we get outside and we start preparing for the next snowflake to fall.
And that last snowflake is far from melting at this point. But there's more and more daylight every day, so hope is close. We got up from our comfortable spot at the resort and head down the road just a couple minutes to look at the property that Jodan's family has worked for years.
So this is our sugar bush. We've got approximately 40 acres of managed forest here that we sugar, approximately 6,000 trees throughout this entire stand. We'll tap an average of 2,000 to 2,500 trees each year. And then we rotate pieces of the forest. As we tap this piece this year, we won't tap that piece next year. We won't tap the same.
Jodan takes me through the steps of sugar bushing. Little did I know, there are lots of options, starting with...
First of all, it's tree selection. There are four types of maple trees that grow around here. There's the red maple, sugar maple, silver maple, and I don't consider the fourth a true maple, but in respect to the Canadians, I will say the box elder tree. So we do have all four of those here, but on our farm, we only tap the sugar and the silver maples.
What I find incredible is the reason why the temperature and time of year is crucial for sap flow, making the sap collection possible.
The environmental weather conditions. You want to have a good freeze at night, a little bit below freezing, you know, like 15, 20 degrees, somewhere around there at night. And then as it warms up to about 40 degrees during the daytime, as long as you have these types of temperature fluctuations day and night, that triggers the sap to begin flowing through the tree. I'm no scientist, but the little bit I understand is that when things get hot, they expand, and when they get cold, they contract. So I think it becomes like a vascular pumping force within the tree. It's expanding and shrinking, expanding and shrinking.
So let's say the temperature is correct. Now what? Jodan explains there are traditional ways of collecting sap where you use a hatchet to cut into the tree, allowing the liquid to drain out, versus more contemporary, where a drill is used. And there are various ways to spout the flowing sap into containers. And then what? As you heard, Jodan mentioned they tap up to 2,500 trees a year. That sounds like a lot of sap to me. So the collection process can't be overlooked.
We have walking trails that go tree to tree, and that's for tapping and collecting. And then we have main trails that circle through the sugar bush. So we have collection points, as we have a bulk tank that goes through the main trails while the sap haulers go out and collect tree to tree. The individual buckets, as it's a family thing, everybody goes out and grabs a bucket, brings it back to the bulk tank, dumps it in. And then we carry the bulk tank back to the sugar shack. Right here, you can see the hole cut into the side of the shed here. So we feed the sap from the bulk tank right here. We'll set up pipes, some PVC piping right here running.
From there, the sap goes into the evaporator, where the sap turns from mostly water to syrup.
You got your moccasins tied up. Depending on humidity, barometric pressure, different environmental factors, we can cook off about 100 gallons of steam. About 100 gallons an hour gets evaporated out. And out of that 100 gallons that's evaporated, we get out about 2 gallons of maple syrup.
What an amazing commitment. Jodan's work is so incredible and shows how, with effort and stewardship on our part, the land can provide. We part ways, and I think about how it could be possible to make some maple syrup at home. Jodan mentioned watching for the ice to turn black as a signal that sugar bushing season has started. Well, the Prairie River behind our house is doing just that at the moment. So I, along with my spouse and his knowledgeable colleague, take a walk through our woods. But surprisingly and unfortunately, it looks like we don't have any maples on our property. I had this all planned out. I was going to add sounds of us drilling maples, maybe cooking the sap. But as a northerner now, I'm also learning about being a bit more flexible, especially when it comes to what nature has in store for me. We still have plenty to explore. Miigwech Jodan for showing me around the sugar bushing operation and for talking to me about its significance. I'm Leah Lem. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Northern Voices. Northern Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Musical Flourishes brought to you by Sam Miltich. Thank you team member Aaron Warhol for the extra listening and guidance. Gigawabamin, and see you soon.